in the home 6010.
Welcome in to the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast. You can find us on video every Thursday on ESPN NFL's YouTube feed. The podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. CSS DFS is what we sometimes are referred to as. Clay Squirrel and Smizzle. Mike Clay, it's good to see you today.
It's great to see you. And we just did this on the first podcast, right? The main podcast,
or
depending on how you look at this season long show. But it is Veterans Day when we're taping this. So we want to thank you for your service, my friend. You know, we love you and thank you for all you've done for us over the years. So I wanted to just give you a little shout out when we, as we kick this sucker off.
I appreciate that, buddy. I love you too. Al Zeidenfeld over there on the West Coast. Al, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Did you know the last time I had a Veterans Day off was 2002 before I joined the military?
Oh, really?
No, not 2002. Sorry, 2005. I joined in 2006. But I've literally worked every Veterans Day since then.
So. Well, we appreciate you.
Hey,
for,
I appreciate
for a lot
you too.
For a lot of reasons.
I know.
A lot of reasons from back then and currently. So I appreciate you being here. And I mean, this is like sort of a job, though. I mean, you're sort of working.
Right.
Like this is... This is fun, right?
You're it's
not,
fun.
When it's me and you and Al, it's not working.
It's, right? It doesn't feel like it's working. I said a bunch of stuff that I really do mean on the season-long show.
Yes.
If for some reason you just listen to the DFS podcast, you wouldn't listen to season-long. I would love it if you would go back because I love you. I think you're amazing, and I just want to tell you that. Mm-hmm. So go check out the season-long show if you didn't have a chance.
Yes, well said.
Week 9 recap. I took down the big Mike Clay one more time.
You did. In the worst, since I've started playing DFS, the worst week.
Yeah. It was awful.
I hated it.
It was an awful
dirty
week last week.
I don't like anything about it at all.
The only thing, here's what I got lucky with. I had Lamar and I had Hollywood. That overtime game, Lamar was one you know, one of the slate breakers.
That was huge because Hollywood had a poor game going.
Up until really basically overtime.
Yes. Yeah. So that's my excuse anyway. My score, by the way, was, I'm reading it here, LOL.
LOL. That oh, that's what, that's what Mike's score
that
was.
My score
LOL.
Was.
CTCLM10 was our big victor this week. 189.74 fantasy points in our DraftKings league. Join our free league over at DraftKings. Free to enter, $200 in prizes. Follow at Mike Clay NFL and at Daniel Dopp. We'll tweet out a link with the league and our lineups. Again, no money. And you get to potentially win some if you...
Yeah, no entry fee, but you can win
sorry.
Money.
Yes. I shouldn't say no money.
No money.
Definitely money, but
money
no entry fee.
Risk-free cash.
That's what I'm looking for. Speaking of risk-free, Mike Clay.
Yeah.
Is there a more risk-free quarterback in the NFL this year than Tom freaking Brady?
Well, I mean, I thought I played a lot of high-floor, risk-free players last week, and look how that went. So who knows these days?
I mean,
it's been absolute chaos. I don't know. I'm a little... It's one of them weeks. Like, when you have a process, and you're comfortable with the process, and it works for a long time, and then something like last week happens, you have that moments of doubt. Like, man, am I doing everything wrong? You know?
You are doing things right, and have confidence in yourself, and I love you, and I want you to know that.
All right, thank you. Then I'm not changing anything.
Good.
You just talked me into starting Tom Brady this week against Washington at 7,600. I mean, the number one fantasy scoring quarterback this week, and he had his bye already. Half the league has had their bye. He's one of them. He's still the number one fantasy quarterback this season. 18-plus fantasy points in 7 of 8 games. So that gives you, I mean, 18 points. I mean, that's almost my whole score from last week. So, I mean, we're off and running with Tom Brady. The passing volume is terrific. Top 2 in attempts, completions, yards, and he has 25 touchdowns already this season. So,
okay, so that's great, but he might be out like a bunch of pass catchers this game. Does that worry you at all?
That's true, and to some extent, you're still going to have Mike Evans. I think you have reliable targets in O.J. Howard and Cameron Bray. You'll see a lot of them in this game. Tyler Johnson is starting to come along. You'll have him. We'll see in Chris Godwin. He may play in this game as well, and you could have Scotty Miller coming back, who's flashed at times when he's had to step into a role in this offense. So, also, we've seen Tom Brady put up big fantasy numbers his whole career in New England with not the greatest supporting cast.
That's
so
fair.
I think it'll be okay. Also, the matchup is the other part of this, right? It's not just Tom Brady. It's Washington. Most fantasy points and passing yards to quarterbacks. They've allowed 20 touchdowns to quarterbacks this season. That's second most. And 6 of the 8 quarterbacks they have faced, and they're not all superstars by any means, have reached 23 fantasy points against Washington. So a lot of things to like with him. Although he did say that he kind of had, I heard, I think it was actually on the Monday Night Football broadcast when he was on with Peyton and Eli, that he, you know, he's a warm weather quarterback now, and he kind of had this game circled. Like, I have to go to the Northeast in November to Washington.
Northeast?
I know. Well,
D.C.?
Not a perfect quote, but something along those lines.
Something like that, yeah.
He rarely has to go play in the cold
anymore.
And it might be, I don't know, it might be 55 or something Sunday. So
on those old bounds,
I think he'll be fine. Yeah.
I get it. I love Tom Brady this week as well. I mean, he's got such a high floor and a high ceiling. He's, you know, especially right now with so many quarterbacks that feel like, Mahomes and Josh Allen. We've seen a lot of guys that we thought had high floors and high ceilings kind of struggle lately. So Brady has been unbelievable. Love him again this week against Washington. Al, you want to talk about Justin Herbert, $7,300 taking on the Vikings. I also want to talk about Justin Herbert because I want him to throw the ball to Mike Williams a little bit more. But tell me why you like Justin Herbert this week.
I was scared of that toss because at the beginning you were like, Al, you want to talk about Justin Herbert. Like, it was a terrible play, but it's not a terrible play.
No, it's not. It's a good play.
So this is one of the games I'm looking for, like high scoring environments. I'm looking for back and forth, push and pull. I want shootout possibilities. And who better than to go against than the Minnesota Vikings when it comes to shootouts or overtime games or back and forth play at the end of the game. So like, if the Vikings are ahead, it's because their great offensive weapons did things because they have a very consolidated pool of players. And so do the Chargers, except for like at tight end. So I do think this is a spot where Mike Williams can bounce. I love buying in when the price comes down on a receiver and the population on them comes down as well. You guys know that I want to double stack. Who better to double stack with than Justin Herbert, knowing that you can get either Austin Eckler, some combination of Eckler, Allen, Williams, and possibly Cook or Parham. He corrected all of our pronunciations on him. I love this spot for Justin Herbert. I do like Tom Brady a lot, but, you know, 18 touchdowns is really solid, multiple touchdowns in five of his last six. Plus, he contributes on the ground as well with two rushing touchdowns over that span.
Yeah, I like that play specifically. You're looking for a comeback, Al, because I don't love anyone in Washington quite as much as a comeback play. But for the Vikings, definitely like you're talking about with a shootout. Fully on board there. Josh Allen is another quarterback we want to talk about taking on the New York Jets. Hopefully this is the week, just like last week and then the week before, where we said Josh Allen's going to crush it. But seriously, he should crush it this week. $7,900.
Yeah, I need to do an off-season project about what is going on in Florida, especially in the first half of the season, because like Tom Brady always struggled in Miami. Remember, Aaron Rodgers in Jacksonville had a dud this year. Now Josh Allen, like, I know there's always been something, some sort of narrative there, but I think that sounds like an off-season project for me. So
absolutely.
Write that down for me.
Also like Dak Prescott, $6,900 taking on Atlanta. He struggled last week. I kind of like him bouncing back here this week. Mm-hmm. Al, did Dak Prescott make the Best Buys column?
This week, yes.
Yes, he did. That's what I thought. All right. $6,900 for Dak Prescott. And then Teddy Bridgewater, $5,500, another quarterback. If you want to go down a little bit in order to spend up elsewhere, we like him as a cheaper play. All right, let's talk running back because this is where two potentially massive value plays are going to come into play this week.
Yeah,
First one, I'm going to start with you, Mike.
Yeah, so initially I was going to talk about James Conner,
yep,
who is the other one. And the guy I had to pivot to, of course, for COVID reasons, is D'Ernest Johnson. So Nick Chubb is on the COVID list. I guess there's a small possibility these guys are activated if they have two negative tests, but that seems like a long shot at this point. So you still have Kareem Hunt and IR. He's not going to be back this week. Dimitri Felton, COVID list. John Kelly, COVID list. They just signed Brian Hill to the practice squad. They just signed, I believe, a third back to the practice squad. But, I mean, this could be, it could be D'Ernest Johnson, Brian Hill, who has not been in the league this year, and Andy Janovich, the fullback, handling the touches in the backfield. I mean, it should be the D'Ernest Johnson show here. He's the 36th price running back in the slate at 4,700. He's the, when we saw him in this role, he was in a very similar role, though Felton did play in that game back in week seven. 22 carries, 146 yards and a touchdown. Also had two catches for 22 yards in that game. He was obviously outstanding in that one. I mentioned he has very little competition. And also, the Browns' backfield, and this was part of our case to start him back in week seven, was the Browns' backfield just creates production from that position. 49 more fantasy points they have for Cleveland running backs than any other running back unit. The most scrimmage yards and touchdowns. The matchup here, the Patriots, mid-pack, right? So they've only allowed three touchdowns to running backs, but they've allowed the third most scrimmage yards. He's too cheap to not play. He could have 20, 25 touches. He's going to be chalk, but in cash, it's hard to go against him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's sort of like a free square this week in cash because of that. Al, I want to ask you from a tournament perspective, Before we move on to your player, what is it that you look at a player like Dearness Johnson when everybody is going to be on him because he's so cheap? How do you utilize a player like that in tournaments, or do you always try and fade him?
So a couple of years ago, it was more about fading the one player, because if that player fails, then great. I look more at my cumulative percentage as it projects to be in tournaments. So like, I want to stay under 130 total percentage points. So there's very easy ways to get different. Obviously, double stack bring back, which is what I've been preaching for the last couple of years, is the easiest way, because you're going to get a different combination of players, and you can still stomach rostering somebody who's going to be a chalky play if they're just way too cheap to ignore. Now, you can get away from them and go to something else, and I've got a same price pivot for this play here, who both of them will probably be played if both the players are out. I assume that Nick Chubb won't be able to clear, and also it looks like Zach Moss won't be able to clear as well. He is my first appearance on the 06010 podcast in 2015. Stefania and I had this conversation that was, there's no such thing as being a little concussed. It's like being pregnant. You either are concussed or you are not concussed.
Correct.
And right now, Zach Moss still missed Wednesday's practice because he was in concussion protocols. We'll check the Thursday practice report. We'll obviously check the Friday practice report. But in the case that he is still concussed and not able to go this week, that opens up a boatload of work and snaps and touches for Devin Singletary. And we saw when Moss came out of that last game, Singletary played like 66% of the snaps. It got like 2/3 of the touches, which had kind of flipped Moss's way. Well, guess what? Now they play. We talk about matchups a little bit, right, on this show, especially for daily fantasy purposes. The second most points to opposing running backs is like 30. Per game on DraftKings. And then the next is a bunch of teams like 30, then 29, 29 and a half, 28 and a half, 28 and a quarter, 28. The number one team in terms of points against on DraftKings to opposing running backs is the New York Jets, who have been absolutely horrific, allowing 39 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs.
Wow.
This is the sweet spot. They're allowing 4.6 red zone drives per game. They're allowing a touchdown on a league high 6.5% of carries. So if Devin Singletary has a pathway to like 12 to 15 carries, we know that the Bills are going to throw it a ton, and possibly 4 to 8 targets against this Jets team. We just watched Nyheim Hines go for 20 plus points against them as the secondary got in 30% of the snaps. Now imagine the team total being over 30 again for the Bills, Singletary being 4,700 and everybody's eyes on Dearness Johnson. I'm going to play the running back against the Jets.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, just got to keep an eye on it. And by the way, if Moss plays, he's a name you could use as well. I mean, he's not super expensive, and he's been their lead back.
Yes.
This season. He has emerged as their lead back when he's been healthy.
Two running backs, $4,700 right now. A couple others that we like. Najee Harris, $7,900 against the Detroit Lions. So much volume in that defense is a mess right now. James Conner, Mike already mentioned him, $6,300 against the Carolina Panthers. Leonard Fournette, $6,100 taking on Washington. Cordero Patterson, $6,600 at Dallas. Still do not have Calvin Ridley, so I would expect to see him continue to get passing game usage as a part of that. Should he be a wide receiver? Or should he be a running back in the game right now?
Running back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make the case, and people have asked about that, like, we should make him a wide receiver, but should Mike Gesicki be a receiver? You know what I mean? Like, he's playing running back, even though he aligns at receiver quite a bit, you know, more than usual. But still, to be able to put him... Like, should you be able to put Alvin Kamara at the wide receiver slot? Like, I just don't think it really makes sense. His average depth of target's still very low. His targets are in the short range for the most part. You know, I get why there's some pushback on it, but at the same time, it's not reasonable for him to be slotted in as a receiver. It doesn't make sense. He's playing running back. Like, why his role has increased, and it's weird. It's Mike Davis's snaps have come down. I wonder why. Mike Davis is a running back, right? Because Patterson's playing more. So, yes, they use them both sometimes. There are other teams that use multiple running backs. He's a running back. We're leaving him at.
I love it. No, I'm with you on that. I just wanted
to ask. People just want cheat codes. They want to cheat.
That's exactly what they want.
Win straight up. You don't need to cheat.
DeAndre Swift, $6,800 on the other side of Najee Harris for that Pittsburgh game. Christian McCaffrey, $8,400, which feels too low. But taking on Arizona, Al, are you worried at all about Arizona and how bad with P.J. Walker that offense is going to be?
I mean, could be, but like... Christian McCaffrey's going to get his, especially if he has to be, you know, the check down king and just toss it to Christian McCaffrey eight times. That's even better because, like, targets are worth more than carries for running backs, especially in full PPR, especially with bonuses. You have a player who can get you there without touchdowns with the amount of yardage and how important he is mm-hmm. to this game. Last week, he played like, what, half the snaps and still had 75% of the running back touches on that team. In a horrific offensive spot. So it's really hard for Christian McCaffrey if he plays 80% plus of the snaps to fail.
I agree with you there. Mm-hmm. All right. Mike, do you want to rent your home?
Let me check. Yes.
Yes, yes. And I'll bet it can be hard work too, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Mm-hmm. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico Easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. In a segment that I just continually call Mike and Al picking on Daniel, we're going to talk about another player that is taking on the Detroit Lions this week. Deontay Johnson, $6,800.
Yeah, and...
You go ahead. Go ahead.
You got your little helmet there. You give that a couple pets there. Just stare at that beautiful helmet. It's a sharp looking helmet.
It is a good looking helmet.
That's the only thing they have going
Lions for helmet right sitting here on the couch next to me for those not watching the video.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about that. Anyway, quick note, though, on the Steelers. I tweeted this the other day. One of the hardest fantasy schedules so far this season. One of the easiest going forward, particularly for passing games in the quarterback position, and Najee Harris as well. So, just something to think about if you're looking for a sleeper. This Steelers offense could be a bit sneaky. But this week specifically, love Najee Harris. We just talked to him, but also Deontay Johnson. He's $6,800 going up against your Lions. Johnson has, again, had such a high floor. 12-plus fantasy points in all seven games this season. Six straight top 25 finishes for Deontay Johnson. A 30% target share. A 37% air yard share. So it's not all just short-range stuff. The guy has been heavily utilized. And how about this one? Going back to the start of last season, right? He's played in 23 games. In 16 of those 23 games, he has double-digit targets.
Wow.
I mean, that's exactly what you want from your cash game wide receiver or tournament wide receiver. And then, of course, we have to talk about the Lions defense, second most fantasy points over expected to receivers, the highest yards per target, the fifth highest catch rate. The matchup is great against the corners for Johnson. So it just all sets up beautifully for a big day for Deontay Johnson.
It really does. Really does. Al, let's talk about Jerry Jeudy, $5,300 taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in the season-long show. Mike did a wide receiver cornerback update where both Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick were downgraded, but Jerry Jeudy living in the slot, untouched, and you have him here. Tell me what you like about Jerry Jeudy taking on the Eagles this week.
I mean, that's kind of the thing, is that Philly's been really efficient against outside receivers, but they have kind of this gooey center, and they're a little bit less efficient in the middle of the field. They've allowed a ton of receptions to opposing running backs, and Jeudy is manning that little short to intermediate role. Philly still allows the sixth most completions per game, but, like, where are those completions coming? They're coming right where Jerry Jeudy operates the most. Now, we've also seen a target bump for him this season. Now, granted, it's a small sample size. He's only played three games because of the injury. But he's been targeted on 26.8% of his routes. Which is it, roots or routes?
I think it's routes.
Routes is something I would say. I'd get yelled at for that.
Roots are under the ground. Routes are out in the target.
Yeah.
Okay. 26.8%, and last season was 22.8%. So we've seen the bump in usage there. He still has big time upside in terms of being able to make big plays, get down the field, even though that's not his role as much out of the slot, kind of like we saw from CeeDee Lamb last year. But that doesn't mean it's bad for fantasy. Still a guy who sits at about a 1.65 expected DraftKings points at his ADOT. So if he's going to project for 8 to 10 targets this week and be the preferred guy, much like Keenan Allen was last week against this same defense, this is a place where he can feast. And at 5,300, I kind of feel like he may come in a little bit lower than somebody like Cole Beasley at 52 or Landry at 52. Also, where people would rather click them. I think they're going to split a lot of the percentages in tournaments. And there's a possibility that Jeudy may be the third one based on that big red number next to his name on DraftKings.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love Jerry Jeudy this week. I know we talked about it on the season-long show. Mm-hmm. But I'm totally with you, Al. All right, a couple of other wide receivers here. Chris Godwin, $7,100, assuming he plays. We like him against Washington, but keep an eye on that. Davante Adams, $7,900, taking on Seattle. DJ Moore, let me ask this question. Is this assuming that Aaron Rodgers plays?
Yes, it does for, it's definitely, if Rodgers plays, if he doesn't, I'm not going to feel as good about Adams. Same, we went through the same thing last week. And, so,
yeah. Okay. Okay. DJ Moore is $6,300 taking on Arizona. Cole Beasley, who Al just mentioned, $5,200 against the Jets. Jarvis Landry, Al also mentioned, taking on the Patriots, $5,200. DK Metcalf on the other side of Devontae Adams, $6,800 with Russell Wilson potentially coming back for this game. I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out. James Washington, $3,500 as a cheap play taking on the Lions. You liked him also in your wide receiver cornerback matchup.
Tournament stack, so you could work him in. No Chase Claypool. He's going to be out for a little while. That kind of snuck through the snuck through a little bit yesterday, but Claypool's going to be out probably for a few weeks. So Washington at $3,500. In cash, you don't really want to be using Washington and Deontay Johnson, most likely. You have other cheap options you can use, including someone we'll talk about in a little bit, and Tyler Johnson, but... if you don't use Deontay Johnson, certainly he's a guy you could slip in there or utilize him in tournaments.
Yep. And then Mike Evans, $6,900 against Washington. Really love him there. Mm-hmm. Really quickly, before we talk about tight ends, I just got an update that the Panthers, have you seen this?
Yes. They did sign Cam Newton. I wouldn't expect him to play this week, obviously, but maybe next week. Who knows? I'm not sure how I feel about it. You know, after what we saw last year, you know, the Patriots passing game was not good at all last year. And is that really bad news for DJ Moore? Maybe. You know, that makes me a little nervous if I have Moore on my team.
We will talk about it quickly tomorrow, but obviously we want to get you guys set up for the people that are actually playing on Sunday. So we'll probably talk about this more next week, but just want to make sure that everyone knows. Of course it happens right after we get done taping the podcast. That's when news always breaks.
Well, we did talk about it on that show. So if you want a little on that, we did talk through the possibility a little bit. Yeah.
All right, tight end. My favorite tight end right now, Mike, Dan Arnold. $3,500 taken on the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. His target share, I mean, he's just been consistently getting targets from Trevor Lawrence in that offense, and his price is still sub 4K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Jags come into the season with LaVisca Chenault, the second-round pick last year, and DJ Chark, who was a second-round pick and, you know, a great player. And then you bring in Marvin Jones, and they're featuring Jamal Agnew and Dan Arnold. I mean, that's like their offense right now. It's unbelievable. Working Carlos Hyde, and you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, Darnold's getting the volume, and he's still only $3,500. So at the price point here, he's a terrific value. The 13th price tight end. He's less than Ricky Seals-Jones, who may not even play more than a couple snaps if Logan Thomas comes back this week. So he's just too cheap. 7.8 targets per game over his past four games. He's seventh in fantasy points at tight end during those 4 weeks, despite not scoring a single touchdown, still getting the job done because of the target volume. He's tight end two in targets those weeks behind some fella named Travis Kelce. He's the only guy with more targets during those last 4 weeks that he has played the Jags. It's unbelievable. Also, Colts, fifth most fantasy points to tight ends this season, the sixth most tight end touchdowns, that's third most. A 77% catch rate allowed to tight ends. That is fourth highest. They've allowed 17 plus fantasy points to tight ends in a little over half of their games this season. So everything sets up well here for Donald, for Arnold, as long as the targets keep coming, he'll be fine. Maybe we can't call him Darnold now, right? D. Arnold, because there's no Sam Darnold now.
And I wondered that. Yeah. Here's the thing. I say Darnold all the time by accident when I'm talking about Dan Arnold because I just like put the two together.
And we know a Darnold. So.
Yes.
And Darnold may not start again. I mean, if Cam comes in and plays well, that's his job. So.
Oh, that's brutal. I feel so, like, I really wanted Sam Darnold to succeed. Anyways, we're talking about
Tyler. A super prospect. Right now. Man, I know. In the middle of his college career, just a super prospect. Yeah.
Al, let's talk about Tyler Conklin from the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Los Angeles Chargers. $3,400. Tell me what you like about Conklin here, because I think this is another guy that's just too cheap based on how many targets he's getting in that offense.
Yeah, volume is king, especially at the tight end position. I don't have the exact numbers for you. I'm going to have to look this up. But like, there is a lot of correlation and back-tested data that shows if tight ends that have a certain amount of receptions or a certain amount of targets or a certain amount of yards leads to touchdowns. You mentioned single touchdowns. Well, Tyler Conklin only has a single touchdown so far this year, in spite of having this tremendous volume. Seven targets last week, seven the week before. In the 2 weeks, again, 10 catches on 14 targets on 44 routes. In those 2 weeks, he's top 15 in the entire NFL in both catches and targets per route run. At the tight end position, he's ahead of Andrews, and across all positions, he's ahead of Cooper Kupp. Over that last 2 week stretch, both of those guys are pretty premium guys at the position. Conklin's only priced at like $3,400. Love him as a tournament play. If you wanted to try and save money, as a bring back play in your Herbert doubles. He gives you that option, also fills the tight end spot, which I love doing as a part of my primary stack. If you didn't want to go with Jared Cook, Tyler Conklin allows you that spot there. And again, like Arnold, based on their volume, they should both start scoring touchdowns at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Yep, he was like the only thing I got right last week. So,
Jared Cook, $3,200 against Minnesota. We also like Kyle Pitts, $5,800, taking on the Cowboys, like him as well. Mm-hmm. All right, Beard versus the Brain is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Beard is up 5-4 on the Brain. Let's get the Brain's lineup for this week.
I like this, man. If this one fails, I don't know what I'm going to do here. All right, super high floor. We got discounts at the running back spot, and I'm going with three running backs. I'm going to put a running back in the flex because we have some early week values here. D'Ernest Johnson, Najee Harris, and James Conner. Just love all three of them. I wanted to do anything I could to get them all in my lineup. I did that. I have Tom Brady, quarterback. We talked through him. Devontae Adams, still managed to get him at receiver with Diontae Johnson. Again, so much upside, so much floor from those two. Yep. And then Tyler Johnson, a wide receiver. I already had him as a value and in here before the speculation that Chris Godwin may not play. If Godwin doesn't play, then he's even better off, and this lineup looks even better. So like him a lot at 3,300. Diane Arnold is my tight end. Talked about him. The place I'm punting here right now is at defense with the Jets at 2K. Don't love that against the Bills, especially, you know, you expect the Bills to bounce back this week. I would like to do a little better there, but enabled, you know, so I could fit all these other guys in, I had to punt somewhere. I did it at defense, so I'm okay with that. Just give me a couple points and I'll be happy there.
Yeah, I like this. I like this lineup. I do think that there is a lot of floor here. The one thing I don't love is, the only thing I'm nervous about with Diontae Johnson is that Ben Roethlisberger's throw power is like 58 now. Mm-hmm. It's real bad.
Madden reference.
Yes, as a Madden reference. Yeah. Like it's really
low. Oh, you
low.
Got that reference.
But
yes.
Of course I did. Of course I did.
That reference you got.
I lived on Madden. I mean, especially college. Like I remember just walking to classes, hearing the music, the soundtracks, because people just left Madden on at all times.
Yes, I was in your dorm room, you just come back.
We always had leagues going. If we were at class, someone else had a game in our league, you know, it was just nonstop. I know you're still in a league and stuff, but I mean, Madden, man, I know that game.
Sorry, that was a throwback.
I don't play it as much anymore, but yeah, religiously.
I watched Ben go attempt what I thought was a deep throw last week, and it looked like he put every ounce of effort he had into it, and it was still short.
It was so cute. He like this weather balloon that he just let go.
Oh my gosh.
But it doesn't matter with him because he, like I said before, he's getting 10 plus targets every game. I mean, you get That's 10 plus targets a game, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yep. All right. My lineup this week, I'm going to roll with Dak Prescott after a down week last week. My running backs, just like Mike, unfortunately, are Najee Harris and I'm not going to go with D'Ernest Johnson. I'm going to go with Devin Singletary.
Okay.
I'm going to pivot off of D'Ernest Johnson so we don't have the same guy.
I'm going to take Singletary. Changes live on there here. Okay.
Well, you know, Al said he had a pivot if I wanted, so why not?
All right, sure.
I'm going to do my double stack of Amari Cooper with Michael Gallup coming back this week.
Ooh, risky, but okay.
$4,000 there. My comeback is I'm playing in the flex at wide receiver Cordero Patterson.
Like it.
It was a joke. He's a running back. And because I said I'm playing in the flex at the wide receiver. Yeah. Okay, all right. Jerry Jeudy. My other wide receiver, $5,300 with TJ Hockenson as my tight end. 55 coming back on the other side of Najee Harris. With the Titans taking on the New Orleans offense, which don't scare me a whole lot this week, especially with, I don't know what's going to happen with Alvin Kamara. You know, we're going to have to see there. So
I tried to get the Titans in there. It just didn't work out, but I do like that. It's a really
$2,600 if you're looking. Like, I think they're my favorite, like, cheaper-ish defense.
Yeah, and you'll notice if you use our value boards, which we post at ESPN Plus every week, defenses, it almost always likes the bottom teams, right? Because defenses, there's a lot of randomness in there, and one touchdown could spin you one way or another. So it usually likes, as the value place, to not spend at that position. This week, it loves Arizona.
Yeah.
It just loves Arizona in that situation against Carolina and P.J. Walker. So that's one if you want to spend up on a defense this week. That's the direction to go. I didn't go that direction just the way the lineup worked out, but that's an option.
Yeah, it looks like Al kind of went the same direction as me, not saying that that's a positive or negative in your direction. But Al, why don't you give us your lineup and talk about your smart plays?
I kind of got myself onto all of the high totaled or implied team total games here. I've got a Herbert double stack, like I've been talking about all show, with Big Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Bringing that back, I needed some value somewhere. So I went with Tyler Conklin at tight end. My secondary stack is Mike Evans and J.D. McKissic from Tampa Bay versus Washington. McKissic, basically a glorified wide receiver this week in a game that they should be chasing. And we know that any situation where it's a passing down, they just don't trust Gibson to pass protect. I've got James Conner. I've got Devin Singletary in there now because I don't expect Moss to play. He's clearly an if-then statement. If Moss does not play, then Singletary is great. If not, I'll pivot to Dearness Johnson in that spot. And I was able to get the Titans defense in here for 26 hundo.
There you go. I like it. I think McKissic's a savvy play this week.
I do too.
I really do. Because you're not going to, there's no way the game plan for Washington is let's run it between the tackles. You don't do that against Tampa Bay. McKissic should be featured in this game. So that's a good call.
Yeah. You say that's not the game plan, but we hope that's not what the game
plan is. Yeah. I mean, I hope the game plan is let's feature Antonio Gibson in the passing game since we can't run him between the tackles this week. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's healthy off the bye. High hopes for him in the second half, but it was a rough first half. So we'll see.
All right. That's it for us heading into week 10 here, guys. We love you so much. Thank you for hanging out with us. We love being able to do this. Please love each other. It's the only thing that I ask from this show, if you listen to it, is that you just love somebody very nicely today and let them know. Mike, I do, in fact, care about you. Al, I care about you as well.
Thank you.
Yep. We love you, man. Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day again to everybody out there. Happy Veterans Day to Travis Willingham from Critical Role. Shout out to Travis. Hopefully someday we can be friends. All right. I love you, man. See you later. Bye.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case. Projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.